Nobody aspires to be an addict or to live with one. But like many areas in the country, Southern Oregon is experiencing what public health officials describe as an epidemic of addiction to heroin and prescription opioid pain relievers. Our guest today specializes in treating the people addicted to these drugs. Her name is Dr. Mary Loeb, and she directs a methadone clinic in Eugene in Lane County. She joins us today on the program to discuss what the program does, who they aim to help, and how it's going. Dr. Mary Loeb, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was wondering, you know, who is this Lane County methadone program available to?
So the program targets patients who are within our system who basically are grappling with addiction to opiates. And they, in order to get in the program, they have to have at least a year history of continuous physical dependency on opiates. And they have to have failed or not had any benefit from a detox program.
Ever before?
Correct.
And how, when you said people who are within our system, does that mean people who are within which system?
Basically within our area, the Eugene, Springfield, Lane County area that we serve, because we're attached to the community health center.
I see. Where you're a family physician, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're talking about the Lane County Methadone Program, which is part of the behavioral health segment of Lane County Department of Health and Human Services?
That's correct.
And so how many people who qualify are in the program at the, at this time?
So roughly around 150 is the population that we're serving, and we're looking to expand that, and we've started doing that in recent months because there is such a high number of unmet needs.
And so your wait list, how long is that typically, and who gets priority on it?
Right. So our waiting list is roughly 30 people right now. We've gotten as high as the 50s in this last year. Some of those people are being served by other programs, and they're wanting to transfer over to our program. But there are some people that don't have services right now. And the people who have priority in our system are basically pregnant women and those with HIV.
And so say there's 50 people on your waiting list. When could person number 50 expect to begin treatment at the Lane County Methadone Program?
A lot of that depends on those other factors. You know, are they HIV positive? Are they pregnant? Those definitely we try to get in right away. If you don't have those other issues going on, you could be waiting 6 to 9 months.
Wow. That seems like a long time in the life of someone who may be in crisis.
Definitely. And we're definitely working hard at trying to look at other options and also expanding the program so that we can get those people in quicker.
So is there a common age range or descriptors for the clients or the patients that end up in this program?
Yeah, one of the things that we're really kind of finding out more about are kind of the early lifehood traumas and how they play into people that have addiction. Some of the estimates are as high as half to two-thirds of people with serious drug use issues have had really traumatic early lives, particularly the first 18 years of their lives. And there's a tool that we've been using called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Tool, and that was developed in the 1990s. And it's really just starting to take on in terms of being mainstream. And we're realizing that a lot of these people have had really devastating events happen. And that's part of the draw, I think, to some of these substances, you know, to try to help cope with these terrible situations that they've been through. And then we're also realizing in terms of treatment that it's a really important part that we look at those events and how that's played out in their lives and try to address those issues as well and give them more life skills and tools.
We're here on the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Mary Loeb, the director, medical director of Lane County's methadone program. You can join the discussion at 800-838-3760. That's 800-838-3760. I'm Emily Curitan, hosting today for Jeffrey Riley. Dr. Loeb, you were just starting to touch on some of the different approaches to addiction that maybe are kind of picking up steam in the last few decades. We have a caller on the line on that subject. Steve in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Howdy. One of the problems that I see with the whole subject is that if you are addicted to heroin, you are breaking the law and therefore subject to incarceration, and therefore I kind of wonder how many people are actually going to admit that they are breaking the law and sign up for your waiting list when they're at the same time eligible for being arrested. And that, I think, focuses on the whole way we approach this thing as a criminal as opposed to a medical thing, which sounds like you're trying to do, but the criminal thing is already out there. Unlike England, for example, they take heroin addicts and just give them their shot under medical supervision. Then, you know, they nod out for half an hour, then get up and go about their business. It seems like we need a more rational approach to this whole subject of heroin addiction.
All right. Thanks for that, Steve. We'll give Dr. Loeb a chance to respond here. I think Steve raises some really interesting points about the criminalization of addiction and if that's made things worse.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think it has. You know, a couple of things. There is so much of a stigma and stereotyping of people that deal with addiction. And that's one of the things I think is really important to address and really important to understand, you know, where these people are coming from. I think you started off the show talking about, you know, people don't get up in the morning and think, you know, hey, I think I'd like to become an addict today. You know, it's not a life goal. And so really kind of asking the question, why is this happening to people, you know, kind of looking at the nature-nurture components, and then helping them with that process. So I think it's really important to understand more about this illness and how we can help. And, you know, definitely trying to dispel the stereotypes and the stigmas associated with addiction so that we can be effective in terms of treating the people that need the help. You know, again, you know, looking at Oregon, we have such a large number of people that are addicted to opiates, and yet they're having a hard time getting access because we don't have the treatment programs and we don't have the monies going to the treatment programs to get those needs met. And that's just going to perpetuate this problem.
I do want to talk more about the specific treatment programs, especially the ones that you are directing in Lane County. First, I'm curious, though, in your experience as an addiction specialist, as a family practitioner, what are the underlying causes of opioid and heroin addiction as you see them? And, you know, maybe there's categories there and some overlap, but I'd love for you to lay that out for us.
Right. You know, I think the nature-nurture kind of model is a good one to think about. You know, there are definitely some people who don't have the life experiences that we were talking about earlier and are drawn to opiates and have problems with opiate addiction. For some of those people, what I hear is that, you know, from the very first time that they took opiates, that they felt normal. You know, they never understood why other people were talking about feeling normal and feeling good. And then when they took that substance, they finally felt that sense of well-being. And so I think for me personally, I really see that as that the nature aspect, that chemically their bodies are different than other people in my experience. And then there's a second group, and there's definitely much more groups besides these two, but just to simplify things, I think the second group are what we were talking about earlier with the adverse childhood experiences, where they've had very traumatic events happen. Sometimes, you know, their whole childhood was a traumatic event. And they didn't have a lot of life skills that were taught to them. They didn't have a lot of nurturing. They didn't have people who believed in them. And so, you know, from the very start, you know, they were set up to not do well. And for those people, I think that that nurturing aspect is a big piece of it. And what I see is that oftentimes the opiates help numb them to the pain, the emotional pain, the physical pain that they're experiencing.
We are talking with Dr. Mary Loeb on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the director of Lane County's Methadone Clinic. And I'm Emily Curitan, hosting for Jeffrey Riley today. You can join the discussion at 800-838-3760 or email us, jx@jeffnet.org. Dr. Mary Loeb, you just touched on kind of the old nature versus nurture debate and how they both seem to be at play, as you see it, when you talk about addiction and addiction science. Getting into the actual services that this treatment program in Lane County, which you said you had 150 or so patients right now, when you have people who are struggling with heroin addiction, it seems like they also have a lot of other struggles. We've touched on a few: adverse childhood experiences, poverty, abuse, homelessness. How do you offer them treatment, and do you get pushback because your program can't really address these bigger sweeping problems that people have?
Yeah, a lot of what we try to do is connect them with our community partners to help them get the care that they need. Another aspect for them is dental health. You know, oftentimes they have very poor dentition, so we've worked with some of our partners to try to get them dental health. And Whitebird, for instance, has been extremely helpful in getting our patients in that need dental services. So, you know, we try to identify some of the major aspects to what's going on for them, and then hook them up with community partners because we can't do it all ourselves.
Do you offer job training and counseling, that kind of thing?
We do have one-on-one counseling as well as group treatment. You know, so we try to treat the whole person, and we realize that addiction doesn't just affect the person with addiction issue. It affects their family and it affects the community. So, you know, we try to look at the whole picture in regards to how addiction affects those units.
We are talking about heroin addiction here on the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Mary Loeb from Lane County's Methadone Clinic. Let's take a few calls. Up first, we have Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Grumpy John, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much. I'm a little bit ignorant on this, so bear with me. I have been told that methadone is harder to actually get off of than cigarettes or heroin. And so I would like you to comment on Suboxone, I believe is the correct name for it. It might be mislabeled, but Suboxone versus methadone. And then secondly, why do we not just take some of the tons of confiscated heroin and let people use that? How could that be so much worse than having somebody using methadone? Is the methadone just a means of controlling the population so they have to show up every day at their designated spot for their methadone? Why not just let people use heroin? Okay, there's my questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, you know, with the heroin, looking at that versus methadone and then Suboxone was the other medication that you were mentioning, one of the big points about that is that the half-life or how long they stay in your system is very different. So with heroin, typically it stays in your system for minutes. where with methadone and Suboxone, it stays in your system for days. And Suboxone, just for those who haven't heard of that, is a medication that we use also for treating opiate addiction. And it's a medication that needs to be prescribed by a prescriber that has been certified in using that particular medication for the purpose of addiction. So there's additional training and there's additional credentialing that providers have to go through to be able to prescribe that medication. So subsequently, there are not a lot of providers who do that. So in regards to the heroin, because of it staying in the system such a short period of time, you have a spike. And what I mean by that is you inject it, use it, and the levels go up very dramatically in your system. And you've got this intense rush. You've got this intense euphoria. But then just as quickly, you crash. Okay. So what happens then is you want to feel that way, that intense rush again. And so you have this craving that accompanies it. So you're going up and down constantly when you're using heroin because of that short half-life. With methadone and Suboxone, because it stays in your system for such a long time, you don't have that craving, that intense need to have that fix, okay? So it blunts that craving. So you're able to function. So rather than constantly thinking about the next fix, where I'm going to get the drug, you can actually have a life. You can work. You can be with your family. You can do things that before it was being taken up by that spike and crash cycle and trying to look for the drugs.
It sounds like these medications, methadone and Suboxone, are a way for people to change their behaviors as they deal with the physical aspect of addiction. But I think Grumpy John raises an interesting point. It leads me to ask, how long should people be on methadone? You know, is there a cap? Or what's, you know, in your clinic, say, what's the longest somebody's been regularly taking either methadone or Suboxone?
Right. So with that, I typically think of three different paths. So for people who maybe don't have such a strong genetic predisposition, they don't have a lot of family members with addiction issues, they have some life skills, some coping mechanisms, some stress management, maybe their ACE score, as we were talking about the adverse childhood experiences score, is fairly low, and they just happen to get into opiates, and they're having a hard time getting off. They may be on methadone or Suboxone for a couple of months or years, and then gradually taper off and never have to be on it again, and they never have a craving, they never think of it. That's usually not our population. The other two paths that I typically see is the second path is there's a stronger genetic predisposition. Those ACE scores are higher. People tend to have less in terms of stress management skills. And then typically the cravings get pretty bad when they come up against something in their lives, a death, a loss of a job. And then typically they'll start craving and using. So we see the medication being used intermittently while they get their life back together. On the third path, I think of people with a very strong family history, strong genetic predisposition, not a whole lot of life skills, and maybe there's some deficits so that it'll be really hard for them to get those skills. Sometimes for that population, they may be on methadone for the rest of their life. And we think of it as a disease model, kind of like when you're treating a type 1 diabetic with insulin.
I see. Let's get another call in here. John in Grants Pass, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Let's line up some of these addictions, and I want you to tell me how difficult it is to kick these. Go with heroin. Second, how about the Vicodin thing? I had a serious surgery this winter and had to take about four a day, and it took about a week to really get rid of the craving, but it happened. But how about those two and the Suboxone, because I have a family member who takes that, and then, I don't know, what, drinking or cigarettes or anything like that. So would you line those up? What's how's it go as far as trying to eventually get off of those different items? But obviously heroin sounds like the toughest, but go ahead. Thanks.
Yeah, and the last caller also kind of asks some of that as well. And, you know, with people saying that, you know, either Suboxone or methadone is harder to get off of than some of the other things, one of the things I experience is that sometimes when there's not a plan, you know, when they suddenly run out of medication or their substance, that's typically when that perception that the withdrawals are so much worse on that particular drug tends to be more of an issue. So, you know, in the program, when people are doing their counseling, when they're taking their medications, we come up with an individualized treatment plan that's tailored for that particular person. And so when we're reducing the dose, we're being mindful of, you know, what stressors they have in their life and being very careful about how we do the reduction, if that's something that we're working toward for that particular person. One of the big strategies that we have is to try to meet people where they're at.
Dr. Mary Loeb of Lane County's Methadone Clinic here on the Jefferson Exchange. We've got time for maybe another question or two. One thing I was curious about, Dr. Mary Loeb, was, you know, we touched earlier on stereotypes that you encounter. When, say you're in a social situation and you tell people what you do for a living, what kinds of responses do you encounter? And now that you're here on the radio, what would you like to tell the world about those stereotypes?
You know, what I hear often is that you're just trading one drug for another, and that people really aren't in recovery when they're on methadone. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, people are really trying to change their lives, have healthy babies, have healthy families, and it's cost effective and it's cost savings and it's an investment in our future.
All right, Dr. Mary Loeb of Lane County and Lane County's Methadone Program, the medical director, thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thank you for your time.